Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host. Today's a really big day. There's a lot going on. First of all, it is Veterans Day. It is a day that we thank our veterans, past and present, who have selflessly served our country and protected our freedom. So to all those vets out there, today we salute and celebrate you. The other thing about today is it is 11-11. 11-11 is an awakening code, and you may or may not be aware of it, but once you become aware of it, you will start seeing 11-11 everywhere you go. It just, you'll look up at the clock and it'll happen to be 1-11 or 11-11. And what this is it's a reminder that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And when you see these numbers, you want to be very careful to monitor your thoughts and concentrate only on what you want, not on what you don't want. And so now, if you've never seen 11s before, you will start to see them. Trust me. Once you become aware of this awakening code, it's everywhere. Today also is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions. And if you would like to call in, the number to call in is 424-220-1801. I would love to have your questions. I actually do have three people who wrote to me and would like me to read their questions on air and answer them. So that could very well take up the whole show, but I would be willing to stop and talk to you if you do want to call in. So let me read you the first letter that I got. This is from Limelight. I was married to a narcissistic man for 23 years. It is 3 years. We are now divorced. I was left in a bad situation and have a lot of hate and anger, and I just can't seem to get over all of it. I see people starting to treat me differently since all of this happened, as though I am a lesser person. I get no respect from my family or support. I'm treated like I did something wrong. I know I label myself as a victim because I was a victim, but I had no support to get over being the victim, and the monster got free and clear of what he did for over 23 years to me and my kids. But my kids have blamed me because of the monster's brainwashing, and I feel like I'm losing them in my life now. They just see him so happy with the woman he cheated on and broke up her marriage, and he has money to travel, buy things, and even take up things he never did when we were married. And I don't. I live day to day because I was not the breadwinner, because I was the trusting and honest person, the mom and the housekeeper, and worked full-time also for fun money. They actually think he is a better person because he is happy and he has no responsibilities anymore to bring him down. I have more than one person's share of responsibilities and craziness at 52 years old. Trying to make a career for myself, trying to pay down debt from years ago, and learning to adjust to a completely different lifestyle, almost poverty level. After living an upper middle class lifestyle all my life, do you have any advice? I finally, after two divorce classes and therapists, which I got nothing out of, I have gone online to really research what happened and how to get better and came across your information. It spoke right to me. I feel like I want everyone to know the truth, and in a way, I want to feel cared about in a positive way. I learned a lot about people going through all this. There is no one that is ever there for you except yourself, and I completely understand it is me that has to make the change, but I also understand that encouragement and support is key to helping me on my way to a happier life, and no one seems to do any of that. Instead, I see my ex church people feeling sorry for him and all the lies he told them, and that makes me angry too. A man making $150,000 is getting handouts, free meals, free places to stay, free haircuts, etc. He had a way of making them feel like he was a victim, and again, it kills me. I've been reading the Bible, which helps clarify some things, but as we all know, this is a sinful earth, and I am still living on it. And until my time is up, I hate every day feeling depressed, unwanted, uncared about, and treated like a lowlife. If you have any thoughts or ideas for me, I would love to hear them. I feel desperate for any advice. I don't want to lose everything in my life, and I want to find great friendships and a happy, healthy relationship with a man again, but I can't. I feel undesirable at this point for either, and I feel like no one will ever treat me with respect again. This is such a sad letter, and unfortunately, I hear the same story over and over from the people who I counsel. It seems as if the narcissist gets away with everything and leaves its victims, his or her victims, to suffer for the rest of their life. You said something about being a victim and people calling you on that. Well, you are a victim. When you are targeted by a narcissistic person, a person with narcissistic personality disorder, you are strictly, it's a sheer victimization. They are selecting you not because of who you are, but because what you can provide them. And I've talked a lot in my shows about what the narcissist is, but basically the narcissist is a parasite. They live for nothing more than narcissistic supply. And in order to gain narcissistic supply and keep narcissistic supply, they must hold hostages. Hence, relationships, or what you would consider a relationship. It's very one-sided. It never is both ways. But once they hold you hostage, they abuse you and confuse you and turn your head around and tell you that the things that you're seeing, hearing, and experiencing are not truly happening. And you begin to question yourself, and you begin to question your part in this relationship when truly you have had no part in this relationship. So this is a victim situation. Now, having said that, people don't like the word victim, because they think that it means that you'll wallow in a victim mentality. And that's not what happens with narcissistic abuse survivors. We don't wallow in the mentality. We want to get free of the mentality. So it is not a victim syndrome or something where we're holding on to this victimization. But it's very important to acknowledge that you have been victimized. The narcissist doesn't even really care who you are, what you have to offer. They just care that maybe they got you at a vulnerable time in your life or young life or whatever it was, and they played tricks with your head. They wooed you. They got you to believe that they were everything that they're not. It was all a lie. And then once they got you, the campaign of abuse started. What you described about what's happening with him and your children, this is what's known as parental alienation. Parental alienation is, this happens quite frequently, and it happens around the world to all people who divorce narcissists and have children. When you leave a narcissist, you are taking away their supply, and this angers them terribly. So their life after that becomes about hurting you and doing anything that they can to ruin your life and make you miserable, as if they haven't done enough damage. But this is their thinking. And the key to making you the most miserable is to take your children away from you, or emotionally take your children away from you. And to emotionally take your children away from you, they tell them lies. But if you think about what you experienced and how confusing this relationship was because of what the narcissist did to you through brainwashing and psychological warfare, it is the same thing that's going on with your children. They are not, this is not a choice. They think it's a choice, but they have been brainwashed to believe that you are responsible for everything that's wrong in their life. And once the narcissist gets the children on their side, it is very, very difficult to get them to see it any way else. But I want you to know that this is not a conscious choice on your children's part. This is brainwashing. They have been indoctrinated into a cult that they cannot see anything else. And your instincts are going to tell you to try to, you know, to bring them back through emotion and telling them how you feel. Well, that's the exact opposite of what you will ever want to do in these situations. And you must have proper counseling to deal with this, or you will lose your children forever. This is something that I work with people on all the time. And like I said, it is worldwide. This happens all over the place. The courts are not caught up with what this is. So if for that reason only, I would recommend that you talk to me and get some advice on that. You wish that people would understand what you went through. And the truth is, they never will. If you think back to before you got involved with a narcissist, if somebody would have told you what they went through, would you have believed it? No. You would have thought that they had something to do with what happened, because that's the way we think, because we're logical. And we believe that nothing happens without us playing some part in it. Well, that's not true when you are victimized by a narcissist. You have no part in it, and you have no say, and nothing. So the way that you would have thought about it is exactly the way that others think about it. If they have not experienced it or do not know what this is about, they will blame you. So I tell my clients, and I tell all of you who are listening to me, that you cannot talk to other people about this, because they will shame you and blame you, just as the narcissist does, and it will intensify your pain. The person to talk to is someone like me. And I don't know, I wouldn't be able to recommend you to anybody else, because I don't know what other people do, but I know what I do. And I know that I'm a really safe haven for you. So if you need to talk about this, you will definitely want to contact me and at least have one counseling session and get this out so I can explain things to you and explain why you're feeling the way you do. you will never, ever get validated or vindicated for what happened to you, not by the narcissist or not by anyone in your life. And you said in your letter, which is, you know, very, very intuitive, is that you have to do this for yourself. But the problem is you cannot do it for yourself. You have to have help because this is a part of your inner experience that was never developed. This ability to self-validate, this ability to self-love, and this ability to have a great self-image. If you don't have these things, then you will constantly require external validation. And in order to acquire these things, you have to have help because having been through this war, and it was a war, you cannot come out of this without some sort of damage, PTSD, complex PTSD. You must have help to help you get your brain back to where it needs to be. If you do not have help, you will not get better. You cannot do this yourself. If you've gone to therapists, I can tell you what everybody else tells me. They don't help you because they don't understand this, and they want you to take responsibility for what happened. And like I said over and over, you have no responsibility for what happened. What you have to do is understand it, understand the mechanisms, and learn how to counteract those mechanisms to turn your head around so that you become mentally and emotionally healthy. You spoke about relationships and how much you would like to have great friendships and great relationships. This is not going to be possible if you do not get help. I can't stress this enough. That's why I do what I do. Because once you've been exposed to these people, there's nothing you can do on your own. You will suffer for the rest of your life unless you get the proper help. The other thing is you talked about wanting to be treated with respect. Now, no one will treat you with respect until you treat yourself with respect. And even though you may think you're doing that, if you have not recovered from this abuse, then you are beating yourself up because that's what's normal to do. You are ruminating over what happened, and you are wondering where this all went wrong, and you're applying logic to an illogical situation. And you won't be able to stop. You won't get out of that cycle of thinking unless you have help. So you cannot possibly come to self-love if you're beating yourself up constantly. You've got to be able to turn that around, and you cannot do that without help. So I know I've said it over and over, but it is the absolute truth. So, you know, people who go through this often have a childhood that has exposed them to some kind of dysfunction or emotional abuse. And when you grow up in a childhood like that, when you have a childhood like that, you do not develop what I call the inner experience that other people have who have had healthy childhoods. You do not know how to self-validate. You do not know how to love yourself. You do not have self-esteem. You require a lot of external support. You believe that your job in life is to please and fix people. So that is called codependency. And if you are suffering from these things, it can get better. I was seriously codependent. I suffered just as you have suffered in many, many ways. I've done it. I've come through it. I don't suffer anymore. Now I help you guys. That's what I'm here to do. I'm using it to help you. I can promise you, you can overcome this, but it is not an easy thing to overcome, and you must have professional support. So that's what I have to say about that letter. The next letter I got is from somebody who said, "Glad to have found you!" Exclamation point. She says, "Hello. I would like to start off saying thank you for the videos you have posted on YouTube. I am very new into my recovery and just recently discovered my abuse was due to my narcissistic mother. Just learning upon this, I went to YouTube and listened to your 6-part videos and felt in awe to hear the familiarity. I finally was able to make sense of my mother and my enabling father. I want to say thank you in capital letters. This has opened my eyes and I finally feel understood, or I can finally understand myself. I have many questions to ask you about my mother. I have always believed she was suffering from bipolar disorder. But from doing research and discovering your show, she is suffering from narcissistic personality disorder. I would love to hear your thoughts about this. My sister has also been diagnosed with bipolar disorder due to our abuse, but I'm wondering now if it is narcissistic personality disorder. I am also wondering how this happened to my sister and not me. I look forward to hearing from you. Once again, thank you for what you do. You have made a difference in my life and many others with this information." So, narcissistic personality disorder is often misdiagnosed. However, it is in a cluster B of personality disorders that includes histrionic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, and antisocial personality disorder, which is psychopathy and sociopathy. When you have one of these disorders, you also have aspects of others. So a person could be largely borderline and have many narcissistic traits. If a person has antisocial personality disorder, if they are a psychopath or a sociopath, they have narcissistic personality full-blown. But people that have narcissistic personality disorder do not always have psychopathy and sociopathy issues. So this is where the confusion may come in. So maybe, perhaps she was bipolar. It's not my expertise. You know, I've looked it up. I really can't say. I haven't talked to you. I really don't know what traits this diagnosis was based on. But she clearly has a lot of narcissistic personality disorder traits. And if she does, then you need to work with that. And there are very specific ways to work with that, but it is very confusing. You said that your sister has also been diagnosed with BPD and due to your abuse, but you're wondering why she would have this problem, and you're thinking it could be narcissistic personality disorder, and you're wondering why she has this problem and you don't. Well, there's a very good reason for that. The reason is that when you are in a childhood environment of abuse, two things will happen. One of two things will happen. There is the child that will learn to please and placate in order to have some control over a chaotic environment that is emotionally unsafe. And this placating and pleasing becomes a way of life, and it makes them very vulnerable in their life to predators of this nature. The other thing that happens, and that is also codependency, I should add, the other thing that happens, one of two things, this is the second thing that happens, is the child is so overwhelmed by what is happening that they decide that they are going to get in life, get others before anybody can get them. And the way that they do that is they build what's called a false self. And I'll explain the false self. I know I've explained it before, but I'll explain it again. The false self is an impenetrable suit of armor. Once the child develops the false self, they are never a real person again. They never have empathy again. It protects them in life, but it protects them in a way that makes them predatory because they are the focus of their life. And everyone else is there in their mind to feed them narcissistic supply. Everything they say and everything they do from that point forward is to gain narcissistic supply. I talked about, with the other letter, the lack of the internal experience. They don't have the ability to self-validate, self-love, or even feel good or happy or excited. That all has to come externally. They have no capacity for that. So when you're with these people and you just think, why can't they ever be happy? Well, they cannot be happy because it has to come like a drug externally. And it must come constantly, which is why they capture hostages or hosts, parasites and hosts. And then they feed off of these people until the people become wise to what's going on, if they become wise to what's going on, and finally get away from these people. But the narcissist is, they don't have the same human emotions that you and I have. And they wear this false self throughout life. And they walk like us, talk like us, and look like us, and they use the same expressions, and just like we do. They behave like we do. So we can't pick up on it. But the reason they do those things is because from the moment they take on the false self, they are students of human nature. They study everything. They watch the right reactions, how people, normal people, react to things so that they know how to react in those situations, so that they know when to give a hug or when to say, I love you, or when to seem upset over something. But they don't have the capacity to truly do this. It is strictly an act, and they have studied it for a lifetime. So they fool people, and this is very scary. So the answer to your question, why your sister could turn out this way and you wouldn't, is just simply your response to what happened to you. Your response to what happened to you is the better one, because you can get better. You can see that things are wrong and need to be changed. The narcissist never can. And so they go through life as an empty shell with no empathy and preying on anybody and everybody that they think they can get away with it. If they go for help, they can't get it because they believe they are perfect. That is the nature of the disorder, and nobody can tell them otherwise, so they can never get better. So their life is a life of living hell. It is a life of an addiction that never, ever stops. It is constant. So that is basically the answer to your question. Now, as I said and reinforced over and over with the prior letter, you must get help for this. It is even more important if you've been a child of a narcissistic parent that you get help for this, because your entire identity has been affected by your childhood. And so you have coping skills that are not serving you well. They're not really coping skills because you never learned them. You do not have proper boundaries. You do not have self-esteem, and you will be violated over and over and over again until you get to the bottom of this. I can help you with this, but you've got to reach out. Okay, there's one more letter. It's a very short one. It says, hi, Randy. Please take a look at my question. I hope to hear your feedback. I am 31 years old. I've been in no contact with my narcissistic mother for 1.5 months. As my relatives and siblings are finding this out, I feel constant anxiety from their judgment and shaming for supposedly punishing my poor 54-year-old mother. The anxiety makes me have nightmares. Why do I still care so much even after going no contact? How can I get her out of my system? Thank you, Randy. You are a savior. Going no contact, or going across the country, or going across the world, does not take the narcissist out of your head. You will not get the narcissist out of your head if you don't get the right counseling. Gosh, I say it over and over, but I say it because it is the absolute truth. If you go on to my Clarity site, if you go on to Find Life Issues Counseling, and you go to the phone consultation area, which is called Clarity, and you read my reviews, you will see what people say. Everyone who comes to me has been in therapy and has not gotten any help. You must get help. You have been brainwashed. You have had psychological warfare used against you. And when you are a child in this kind of environment, you have been deprived of all the stages, or many of the stages, I should say, of becoming an individual, because a narcissistic parent feeds on the supply of his or her children. And so an individual, a child who asserts individuality, is a threat to their supply. So they destroy it. So as you're going through all these stages and growing up and becoming, supposedly trying to become the person that you have every right to be, the narcissist is stamping it out. They're telling you something's wrong with you. They're stopping you from developing into the person that you have every right to be. And when you get to be an adult, where other people who have not had abusive childhoods start soaring in life and creating a better life and growing in their careers and things like that, the child of the narcissistic parent will plummet at that point. All their relationships will suffer. They will suffer in their career. They will suffer in their self-image. And I also talked about, you know, the lack of building this inner experience, and that is something that the narcissistic parent takes away from you. A healthy parent is supposed to build self-esteem, self-validation, self-love into their children. They're supposed to praise and encourage the children with each stage that they go through. And a healthy-minded parent will enjoy these stages and enjoy the child developing this independent self. For me as a parent, that was the most wonderful thing, it still is watching my children become the people that they want to be and taking advantage of all the things in life that they can take advantage of to grow as people. That, to me, is the greatest reward of parenting. To the narcissistic parent, that is nothing but an insult. And narcissists believe that their victims are theirs forever. They take ownership. And they believe that that victim is never going to leave them. And when they do, when the victim does pull away, in childhood or in adulthood, it is taken as the biggest slap in the face the narcissist could ever experience. And that's where the narcissistic rage comes from, some of it. This is why, as soon as you begin to assert yourself in life, your narcissistic parent will make your life miserable. So, having not had that ability to grow in a healthy emotional way, you get to be an adult with none of the tools for adulthood. And then you wonder why you're hurting, why you're depressed, why you're suffering in life, why things aren't working out for you, why you're still holding on to the pain of your past. So many of these things. You cannot get over this without help, because the person that you were meant to be never got to be. And a lot of children reach, when they reach about maybe 13, 14, 15, 16, many children will become very rebellious. And they think that they're bad children, and their parents tell them they're bad children. What this is about is they are rebelling because they're trying to forge a self, and they're not allowed to forge a self. Their parents are holding them back. They're making them feel guilty for trying to forge a self. So they have to do it in a way that could be dangerous, but it's always rebellious. So if you think that you were a bad child and deserved any of this, you were not. This was put upon you. So you are away from your 54-year-old mother. I'm away from my 87-year-old mother and my 93-year-old father, who are still going very strong. And do you think people didn't put on me? How can you abandon your aged parents at this time in their life? And, you know, and boy, did I get that. Well, I had to think of me in order to get to the place that I'm at. And I have to protect me at all costs. And you do too. But you need my help, you need my support, and you need my advice. I cannot give you any better advice than that. If you want to get this narcissistic parent out of your system, you want to know how to deal with the judgment that's happening all around you, you have got to get help, because you can't think this way, your way through this. It is impossible. We think, healthy-minded people think logically. So we try to figure it out. There is nothing to figure out. It is sheer victimization, whether it's in childhood, whether it's in your adult relationships, whether it's in your work relationships or your friendships. If you are in some sort of relationship, I put air quotes with that because it's only one-sided, with a narcissist, then you have been victimized and you have had no part in it. But you will feel very guilty for everything that you did, because they're going to tell you that you're to blame. You can't overcome this by yourself. I wish I could give you the magic pill. Some people say to me, Randy, give me that magic pill. Tell me the one thing that's going to get me through this. And there is no magic pill. Counseling with the proper person. And I promote myself not out of ego. I promote myself because I'm the only person I know who does what I do and does it effectively. And I do it fast. And I don't keep people in counseling for years and years and years. They get help, and they get it fast. And that's why they keep coming back, because they're feeling the results very, very quickly. Their therapists, traditional therapists who are out there, are not trained to deal with the syndrome that is caused by this very, very particular kind of abuse. They don't recognize it. They may recognize symptoms. You may be sent for medication for depression. You may be sent for medication for anxiety. They may try to help you deal with the relationship by showing you, or help having you identify what your part is in this so that you can have closure. You cannot have closure. There is no closure with this. So it's all wrong. Everything that therapists, traditional therapists, whether they're masters of therapy or have PhDs or they're psychiatrists, they have no training in this and they don't recognize it, and you will feel worse. Perhaps there are other people around the country doing what I do and doing it effectively. I don't really know, but you're my people. You're my family, and I want you to be safe, and I want to make sure that your mental health is safe. When you come to me, you are safe, and you will get help. That is completely up to you, what you want to do. but I cannot stress it enough. And if you are interested in making an appointment with me, my fees are ridiculously low. They are the same as what you would pay for a copay probably if you had insurance and went to a psychotherapist. You can do it by telephone. You can do it by Skype. So if you like that face-to-face experience, we can Skype and you will be face-to-face with me. If the telephone works, great too. That's not, I wouldn't be deterred by that because it is very effective as well. And I can speak to you no matter where you are, in any part of the world. I have people from all countries of the world who come to me for counseling because there's nobody else to help them. So if you'd like to schedule counseling with me or see what I do, just go to my page on randygfine.com, and that's RANDIGFINE.com, and then go to the tab that says Fine Life Issues Counseling. And when you arrive at that page, you will be able to make an appointment either by telephone or by Skype, through Skype. And I urge you to do this now. You are never too young or too old to get the help. Most people don't start the help until they're between 45 and 60 years old. But then you have the rest of your life to live in a healthy way, and you can enjoy relationships, and you can enjoy all the things about your life, and you can make progress in your life. So it's never too late. Don't feel like it's too old or you've wasted time. You can do it now, and you can get better. So that's my soapbox, but I mean it. And you know, if you've listened to me, you listen to what I talk about, how I talk about it, this comes from the depths of my heart. I want to help you, and I know that I can. So I do hope to hear from you. If you are suffering, you don't have to suffer anymore. And I want to thank you for writing, whoever, you know, wrote these letters in. You can send them to me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com ahead of time. My next show will be December 9th, Friday, December 9th. It will be at 11 a.m. Eastern time. It is always at that time. And the Free Advice Friday shows are always the second Friday of the month at 11 a.m. Eastern time. If you haven't already visited the Facebook page, Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United, I urge you to visit it and like it and become part of the dialogue. I post a lot of things there, as I do on my website, to give you support and some insight, and you can actually make comments. You can leave messages for me there as well. And that's pretty much the business that I have to tend to today. So thank you for tuning in again and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your talk radio show host, author, and life issues counselor, Randy Fine, signing off. Until next time, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.